just like to add my admiration and thanks to the people who served the dinner last night. It was extremely professionally done. Now, I don't know what went wrong in the kitchen, and I don't know who put their foot in what, but I'm not supposed to know that. But from the point of view of sitting in the room, it was very professionally done. And to see so many people doing so many jobs, whoever ran it, and we've got a fair idea who that was, but it was just brilliant. So I think you've got to do it again next year. Sorry about that. Let's get off page 7 and get back to page 1. If you'd like to look up something, look up Isaiah 43. And I'll just open in a word of prayer. Father God, we're so thankful that we have a church to come to, and we're thankful that we have people that want to come. And we're thankful that we have very few seats left for people to fill up, and we would just be praying that you would take care of our accommodation and get us into a bigger building soon. But tonight we're here to hear your word. We're here to let the Spirit of God minister to our hearts, and I would just pray that that would be the case tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The topic tonight is called relationships. And the first relationship that I'd like to look at, I won't tell you how many there are because you'll think we'll be here all night, is between God and me. So why did... Oh, by the way, if you were at the adult fellowship, you've already heard some of this. So if it sounds familiar, that's where you heard it, all right? why did God create mankind? That's the first question that I need to answer for you tonight. Why did God create mankind? Well, the first point that I've got is for his glory. And Isaiah 43, 1-7 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And I think we can all think of incidents where that's happened in the Scriptures. "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable. I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." And verse 7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And so one of the relationships that we can have with God, and that is because he wants us for his glory. Now, I don't know whether you've looked in the mirror lately, but you look in the mirror and you think, would God want me for his glory? Well, he said he has. We better take him at his word. God created mankind and us for his glory. In Genesis 3, 9 and 10, we read this, "And God came to the garden to visit with Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So we have a situation where God came down to see what Adam and Eve were doing. God wanted company. And so a second reason that God created man was for his company. And so we read there that God came to visit Adam and Eve, and he called them. He called them. "Where art thou?" he said. And they'd hid themselves because they'd sinned. So God created mankind so he could visit with them and have their company. And it's the same today. God wants to have our company. God's here in the midst of us tonight. And he's enjoying our company. And I'm sure he enjoyed the men's choir. If you didn't shed a tear... yes, anyway, I won't go any further, but that was just magnificent this evening. Also, God created man for his pleasure. In Revelation 4:11, we read, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So God created mankind for his glory, for his company, for his pleasure. Well, how do I then develop a relationship with God? What can I do to develop a relationship with God? Well, I've got just 2 points on that. One, we can read his word. You know, God prepared a written text for us. And not only did he prepare a written text, he gave it to us in our own language. I was speaking last night with Mr. McKay, and he's translating some of the Bible into whatever tribe. He's there, and I asked him what they've finished. And they've really finished very few. And so I'm thinking, we've got the entire Bible. This tribe has got just a few books. We've got every word that God ever wanted us to hear, and we have it in our own language. It's interesting that Satan opposed the Bible being available to the masses of people, those that lived in the past. And at once the Bible was available in most languages of the world, written in the written form and available at a reasonable cost because of the printing press, Satan then went about trying to deceive people by virtually creating all sorts of versions and texts and things like that. You know, today if you went to buy a Bible, you went online or you went to a Bible shop, you would probably get asked, what translation would you like? So I just flicked into Google and I put down Bible translations, and I think there were about 7 or 8 pages. So I've written a few down. There's the ASV, the American Standard Version, the NASB, New American Standard Bible, the NIV, the New International Version. Then there's the Amplified Bible, the Berkeley Version. And if you've ever been in a motel and found a Bible in the motel drawer, it's a Berkeley version. The Bible in English, the Bible in Living English. The Catholic Public Domain Version of 2009. The Christian Community Bible, English version of 1986, the Christian Standard Bible, the Clear Word Bible of 1994, the Common English Bible of 2011, the Good News Bible of 1976, and I gave up typing at that point of time because there were just so many, and a lot have come, you know, recently. So what would you do if you said, I'd like to buy a Bible? At this point of time, you're totally confused. Of course, you can get it in hardcover, softcover, wide margin, large print, and probably pictures or no pictures. And so you would probably leave the web page or leave the Bible shop with nothing, because you would be so confused about what's out there. In fact, many churches today, they put the scriptures up on the overhead projector, because everyone in the congregation has a different version if they bring them. And so most people today leave their Bible at home and they just read it off the screen. Isn't that disgusting? You need to take your Bible with you, don't you? And have it to read from. So I personally prefer the King James Version for many reasons, and I'm happy to share my convictions on this privately with anyone who would like to discuss it with me. But we can read the scriptures in our own homes, in church. All of God's words to us, every word that God wanted us to have, is in here. We really should read every word. I've just put down at least once in our lifetime. We should read the entire Bible from one end to the other at least once in our lifetime. Can I give you a little challenge, and that is to set yourself a task to read the entire Bible at least every 2 years. So you can read half the Old Testament and the New Testament 1 year, and the other half of the Old Testament and the New Testament the following year. So that way you would read the whole thing every 2 years. You can read it in 1 year if you've got that amount of time. But God has provided the means for Him to speak to us daily. But we have to do the reading. We have to do the reading. How else can I develop a relationship with God? Well, I can pray to Him. I can pray to Him. God will answer any prayer request offered by a born-again believer. That's a fairly bold statement to make. He might say yes. He might say no. He might say wait, but He will answer every prayer request that's made. So we can develop a two-way communication system using God's word and prayer. Another one of these things that will help us develop our relationship with God is faith. God wants to develop a trusting relationship with each and every believer. When we think of how many people are on the earth, how many people are alive today, how many people have ever lived, God wants to have an individual relationship with each and every person. You think about that. God wants to have a faith relationship with each and every person that has ever lived. Now, the majority will reject Him, but there we are. So as we read and pray, our faith will develop and mature. There's an opportunity for us Bible-believing Christians to have or to develop a relationship with the living God. If we have such a relationship now, we can improve it. So if you're saying, oh, well, I already have that, that's good. Well, why don't we work on improving it? But it's our responsibility to do this. At what age should we start? At what age should we finish? Well, only you can answer that question. Let me encourage you. Let me challenge everybody here tonight. Before you leave or when you go home, evaluate and say, am I satisfied with the relationship that I have with God right now? And if it can be improved, do something about it to improve it. So the first point was God and me. The second point is the church and me. God's commandments reveal how we should treat each other. And if you're not sure, just check out the last six of the Ten Commandments to see just what God intended for us in how we should treat each other. Well, how do I get to know other church members? How do I get to know them better? Well, I've got 7 points on this. First of all, I need to want to. I would need to want to. And, of course, the obvious question is, well, why would I not want to? Why would I not want to get to know and have a relationship with the people in my church? To do that, I need to be friendly. I need to be friendly. So if you have a sour face or you have pity parties from time to time, you'll probably find people will avoid you. But if you're a friendly person, then certainly people can develop a relationship with you. It's good to share your testimony where possible with people. We were with the McKays last night, and we found out how old they were when they got married by default. They found out how old we were when we got married. They found out a fair amount about us because they were asking us questions, getting to know each other. And so I'm looking forward to spending more time with them to get to know them better. I'll ask the questions next time. But just sharing testimony, sharing what God is doing in your life, it's really an exciting thing. Take time to talk to people outside of your clique or your usual friends. We tend to have a little comfortable group of friends, and we stay with them and we feel warm and fuzzy with them. But sometimes we need to go outside of that group, take in new people. Now, this church is particularly good. I was just saying to someone last night, you know, if a family turns up and they've got 4 children, within a couple of minutes they've been absorbed into groups of children. They've gone. And there's no group of children say, no, we're filled up now, you'll have to find another group and push people out. And that's really exciting to see. But we need to take time to talk to people that are not in our little clique or usual friends. Have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart, especially when it comes to meeting people. Just be a servant. The young people last night were servants. I was just amazed at how well they were dressed and how they presented themselves and how they came to the table. May I take your plate? And it was like they were trained. But they had a servant's heart. I don't think anyone would come and work all day to serve other people that didn't have a servant's heart. Give time to get to know new people. Get time to get to know new people. There are always new people coming to this church. And it's good to just, even if you just say, hello, my name is, and if someone else is talking to them, just leave them. But if they're by themselves, it's great to just to get to know new people. That's number 6, by the way. Number 7 is don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. When people talk to you, listen to them. Listen to them. I used to love telling my TAFE class, if you want to impress your wife when you go home, I said, just sit down on the lounge and say, I've got 20 minutes to listen to you. I said, she will just fall over. But we just need time to listen to people. And so that's another way that we can get to know church people. We can be a blessing to those people who come to our church. What about my work life or my social life? How do I develop relationships in my work life and my social life? Well, it's the same 7 points. I need to want to. I need to be friendly. Share my testimony where possible. Take time to talk to people. Have a servant's heart. Get to know new people. Don't be a know-it-all. And listen when people talk to you. So I want to move on now to another area of relationships, relatives and children and me. Relatives and children and me. My first point is, be the same at home as you are in public. Be the same at home as you are in public. Don't be a split personality. So if somebody knocks on your door at home, they should find you exactly the same as they find you here in church or at work or wherever you are. Don't have a split personality. I'm different when I'm at home to when I'm at church. I'm lovely and friendly. Now, I'm sure everyone can laugh at that, but I'm sure everyone can identify with that as well. Don't pretend to be what you're not. Don't have an acting career. Many people have an acting career. They can change themselves and they can put on an act and they can convince people that they are completely different to what they really are in private. Don't pretend to be what you're not. Don't say to people, don't do what I do, do what I tell you to do. Don't do what I do, do what I tell you to do. We had a saying with our children that if Mummy and Daddy said it, you could say it. If you saw Mummy and Daddy doing it, you could do it. If we didn't say it and you didn't see us doing it, question whether it's right or not. And I told the people, the ladies in my lunchroom that, and they were aghast. They said, oh, there's no way we could ever do that. You know, we have to tell our children what to do, and boy, they wouldn't want to copy us. And I just smiled and left the conversation right there. Don't do what I do. Do what I tell you to do. Don't try and con your relatives or your children. Don't try and lead them on. Be truthful with them. We never had Santa Claus in with our children. We told them that there was no such person as Santa Claus. And my father had a work picnic, and Andrew was there, and he said, I can see 15 Santa Clauses standing here. You know, he just looked around and there were other picnic groups, and he said, I can see 15. Well, we didn't have to explain anything because he knew that they weren't real. Now, it becomes embarrassing when someone says, what did Santa give you for Christmas? And they say, nothing. And then the people say, oh, he must have given you. Say, no, but my parents gave me this and this and this and this. And one little child said, Santa Claus gave me everything, but my parents didn't give me anything. That's when it becomes real, isn't it? Don't try and con your children or your relatives. You don't need to. Don't swear at home and then tell the children not to talk about it. Yes, that's a good one. Be honest with your unsaved relatives. Be honest with your unsaved relatives. I want to change the topic now to wife to me. For those who are married or for those who would like to marry, listen on. The rest of you can have a little sleep for a while. I went to a men's retreat. It must have been 30 or 40 years ago, and a man told us the following story as part of his message. He said that a man's wife died, and after an appropriate time, another lady appeared on the scene, and he had some interest in this lady. And he said, what do you think the man did? What do you think he did? What would you do to gain the attention and interests of this new lady? And he said, I can't remember it all, but he said something like, you'd buy a new suit. You'd be down to the tailor or to one of the shops and you'd buy yourself a new suit. He said, you'd get new casual clothes. He said, you'd get your hair cut. and keep it cut regularly. He said you would shave every day. You would shave every day. You'd start to use aftershave if you didn't use it before. You'd have your nails cut. You'd check your breath. You'd practice useful conversation. You'd learn to listen. You'd learn to pay attention. And when this man finally got this lady to go out with him, he would run around and open the door. He'd make sure he was on time. He would buy her little gifts. He would speak well. And he would listen to everything that she said and engage in intelligent conversation. At church, he would never be late. He would look for opportunities to impress this lady, and he would speak nicely to her friends. Can you see the picture? You can see that's exactly what you would do. Then the speaker said, why don't you do those things for the wife you have now? Why don't you do those things for the wife you have now? And that illustration struck me, and it stayed with me, and wherever possible, I try to do those things for my wife. So this is a challenge to all married men. Treat your wife like a princess. Open the car doors for her. Always look neat and tidy when you take her out. Look clean and tidy. Shave every day. Even on Saturday. Tell her you love her at least 5 or 6 times every day. Now at the night last night, that came out 3 times. And I got one of them. And I had to get down on one knee and I had to say to my wife, I love you, but it said, and mean it. And mean it. I had to get help to get up, because once I get down, I can't get up. But that's another story. But how many, and you're all going to say, oh yeah, but I told her that last week. I told her that last month. She knows I love her. Well, tell her 5 or 6 times every day. Have conversations with her. Listen to her. And then in brackets, I've got really listen. Really listen. Let me tell you, it will change your marriage. Now, don't do all of those things tonight when you go home, because you'll think there's something wrong with you. Okay, just bring them in over a period of time. Gradually do it. But you're going to ask me the question, what if there's no response? What if I get myself some new clothes? And what if I deliberately make myself as attractive as I can be, and I did look in the mirror before I left. What do I do if there's no response? Well, my answer is just keep doing them, because you're not doing them for a response. You're doing them because that's your responsibility. I have a key thought. Tell her she looks great. Yes. Tell her she looks great, and tell her she looks great often. I'm going to change topics now. Probably, yes. Man to man. We have relationships of man to man. And Proverbs 27, 17 to 19 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Verse 18 says, whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honoured. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. So we are to have a relationship with other men. How do I develop that? Well, I've got a few points. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Try to identify or emphasise with them from their position. Tell them what God is saying to you from the Bible. Pray for each other. Send SMSs. Something like, keep looking up. I'm praying for you today. And if someone sends you a message like that, just respond really quickly by saying thanks or okay or I'll do the same. Keep asking how you're going. Now, if someone said to me, how are you going, Peter? I'd say, I'm fine. And that would be the end of the conversation. But if they said, how are you really going? And I thought, well, they're serious about it. I'd say, well, look, I've been a bit tired lately and, you know, my thyroid's playing up and I'm having a problem with this. And people could get to know the things that make me tick or don't make me tick. I was speaking to someone this morning who was telling me they've got a heart problem. Now, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have been tipped off and I hadn't have asked. Don't be put off by a no answer, by no answer. Just keep probing and finding. Show friendship. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's what it says in the scriptures. All right, I'll go this into this territory, but I have very little experience. Women to women. And I'll tread very carefully. Be a blessing. Just be a blessing. Be a good listener. Share God's principles. Pray for each other. A small gift from time to time. Cards work really well. That's from my observation. Be the real person that you are. So I won't go any further on that because I am not an expert and I don't pretend to be. So what's the conclusion then? Relationships in a church setting are critical. My relation to God should be closer tomorrow than it was today. But I may have to put the effort in to do that. I need to increase the content and the depth of my relationship with God, and I can assure you that I have a long way to go with that. Reading the Word of God and prayer are critical aspects to develop such a relationship. Married men, treat your wives as princesses. Tell them you love them. Tell them they look great. Dress up when you take them out. Open the doors, have a shave every day, etc. Be the same at home as you are at church or in company. Look for ways to get out of your comfort zone. And what I mean by that is, if you're in church and you're feeling really comfortable with your friends, have a look for someone that you could talk to that will step you out of your comfort zone. Let God turn you into the man or woman that He wants you to be. Don't wait till next week or next month or next year to start. Start tonight and let the Lord bless you. We just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that people have listened. I pray that the Spirit of God has ministered to the hearts that need to be ministered to, and I pray for that for myself. Pray that my relationship with you would be deeper and stronger. And I pray, Father God, that people won't think, yeah, that's a good idea, and then walk out the door and forget it. But there would be an application in each life to be a blessing to someone, to improve their relationship with their wife or their husband, to improve the relationships in church. That this church would be one of the really great churches in Australia today. So we ask that the Spirit of God would bless us, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.